Okay, the man who gave us the Memphis soul sound, King Curtis, with his take on Booker T's Green Onions. This was recorded on vinyl in 1967. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and my goodness, so much is happening. I'm almost tempted to forego my planned program and get into some of those things that are happening, but I see that they can wait until tomorrow. So let's do the program as planned today. But of course, we must make note of the terrorist attack in Manchester at the Manchester Arena in England after a performance by U.S. singer Ariana Grande, with 22 people killed and 59 injured in an explosion at the concert. And it's a terrible thing whenever you hear this, and you know your heart goes out, because people are just gathered to have a good time and enjoy a concert, a simple thing like that, and all of this terror just falls upon them without warning. So that happened. We have Donald Trump. The Donald Trump version of a budget that he would like passed. That doesn't mean it's going to pass, but his budget sees $1.5 trillion. It's a $1.5 trillion budget, and he wants cuts totaling $1.4 trillion over the next 10 years. And the cuts, of course, they're aiming specifically at cuts that fund programs for the poor, such as Medicaid and also Medicare. So once the budget is out, so it has to go to the extra step of Congress taking a look at it, but they're cutting the major cuts are to offset the allocations for defense spending that we have seen. The Trump administration add $54 billion to. Marco Rubio says that he's not at all optimistic about Middle East peace. That is the peace tour that Donald Trump currently is conducting. And of course, well, Rubio never had much love for Trump anyway, but he may have a very interesting point, so we'll get to that. And news that former FBI Director James Comey was extremely unpopular at about the time that he was fired. Well, don't we know that? We know that very well. Okay, President Trump wraps up his Peace in the Middle East tour today, heading next to the Vatican and to Rome. Surely his theme and demeanor will change by the time he gets there. Pope Francis had said of him, without naming him directly, quote, "A person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges, is not Christian," unquote. That was a major slap in the face by the Pope, an unusual thing for him to do, but a major slap in the face to comment on the proposed building of this big, massive, beautiful wall, as he called it, Donald Trump called it, in the middle of his campaign. Trump's tour, he said, is an attempt to build bridges. However, they're not just building bridges for peace and trade, but also to build bridges for war against what he calls radical Islamist terrorism, unquote. So today I thought we would take a look at how Trump performed on this tour, which is still ongoing, and how he conveyed his message of engagement to the Muslim world and to Israel. I want to share with you a bit of a speech. The speech is given by Donald Trump. And this is going back, which part? Losing my train of thought here. I can't find my notes. Well, anyway, let's listen to President Trump and the way he is talking about his role, the role he envisions he will play in the immediate future in bringing about peace. And then we will hear President Trump speaking at a news conference earlier this month at the White House. And he's talking with President Mahmoud Abbas about the role he intends to play in Israel. I want you to pay attention to the tone and the focus, because it tells us a lot about where he intends to go.
Mr. President, we are happy to see that America is back in the area. America is back again. You marked the defeating of ISIS as one of your top missions. This is most important objective. Israel will do everything in its power in order to assist you in this mission. Israel appreciates America's leadership under your administration in the action you took in Syria. There are red lines, as it happened in Syria, that must never be crossed. There is a price that must be paid by those who violate the most basic values that makes us human. Further action must be considered in face of the horrors that is still taking place on the other side of our border. Mr. President, the Jewish people return to the historic homeland after 2,000 years of exile. We created a miracle, a technological miracle, an economical miracle, a human miracle. And even during our most difficult times, we never gave up on our dream of living here in peace with our neighbors. We reached a peace agreement with our neighbors in Jordan and with our neighbors in Egypt. But we have not yet achieved our mission of living in peace with our neighbors, the Palestinians, and with the rest of the Arab world. Our destiny, Palestinians and Jews, is to live together in this land, Mr. President. We must build trust and cooperation between us. But in order to achieve this, we need new ideas, new energy that will help us move forward together. We can have here an oasis, an international center of tourism, a startup land, Silicon Valley, from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. But we must be sure that we don't go to sleep with a dream and wake up with a nightmare, with Iran, ISIS, and Hamas in our borders. In order to dream, we need to be sure that Iran is out, out of our borders, out of Syria, out of Lebanon. I welcome you, and I welcome your willingness to help us move forward. We want to move forward. Mr. President, we want to move forward, and we must do it together, together with America. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And shalom. I'm honored to be in the great state of Israel, the homeland of the Jewish people. I'm awed by the beauty and majesty of this sacred and very holy land. President Rivlin, Mrs. Rivlin, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for opening your wonderful home and welcoming Melania and myself to your amazing country. And that's what it is. It is an amazing country. What you've done is perhaps has virtually never been done before. On my first trip overseas, I've come to this ancient land to reaffirm the enduring friendship between the United States and the State of Israel. And it will always be enduring. And that's number one to me. We are not only longtime friends, we are great allies and partners. We stand together always. This moment in history calls for us to strengthen our cooperation as both Israel and America face common threats from ISIS and other terrorist groups to countries like Iran that sponsor terrorism and fund and foment terrible violence, not only here, but all over the world. Together, we can work to end the scourge of violence that has taken so many lives here in Israel and around the world. Most importantly, the United States and Israel can declare with one voice that Iran must never be allowed to possess a nuclear weapon, never, ever, and must cease its deadly funding, training, and equipping of terrorists and militias, and it must cease immediately. On those issues, there is a strong consensus among the nations of the world, including many in the Muslim world. I was deeply encouraged by my conversations with Muslim world leaders in Saudi Arabia, including King Salman, who I spoke to at great length. King Salman feels very strongly, and I can tell you would love to see peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Many expressed their resolve to help end terrorism and the spread of radicalization. Many
You need a website.
Radicalization. Many Muslim nations have already taken steps to begin following through on this commitment. There is a growing realization among your Arab neighbors that they have common cause with you and the threat posed by Iran. And it is indeed a threat. There is no question about that. I thank both you and Prime Minister Netanyahu for your commitment to achieving peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I also look forward to discussing the peace process with Palestinian President Abbas. Young Israeli and Palestinian children deserve to grow up in safety and to follow their dreams free from the violence that has destroyed so many lives. The United States and Israel can also bring safety and greater prosperity to our people through stronger ties of trade and commerce. Already, our two countries do a great deal of business together. We have a strong foundation on which to build an even closer trading relationship that benefits both of our countries. I'm going to try and narrow that trade deficit just a little bit. Is that okay?
God bless you.
He doesn't mind. He wants to keep it the way it is. I understand. Today, we have so many incredible opportunities before us, and my hope for this visit is that we seize every single one of them. I am thrilled to be here on behalf of the American people. I know Israel and America share the same goals, and I have great confidence that we can achieve tremendous success together. We can achieve all of our goals together. President Rivlin, I look forward to working with you and to seeing more of the sacred land and getting to spend time with the remarkable people of Israel. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, we're going to hear this other tape. This is a tape of President Trump held. He's having a news conference after meeting with President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority. Let's listen.
Today I'm pleased to welcome President Abbas to the White House for his first visit to Washington in quite a while. Almost 24 years ago, it was on these grounds that President Abbas stood with a courageous peacemaker, then Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Here at the White House, President Abbas signed a Declaration of Principles, very important, which laid the foundation for peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. The President and Mr. President, you signed your name to the first Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement. You remember that well, right? And I want to support you in being the Palestinian leader who signs his name to the final and most important peace agreement that brings safety, stability, prosperity to both peoples and to the region. I'm committed to working with Israel and the Palestinians to reach an agreement. But any agreement cannot be imposed by the United States or by any other nation. The Palestinians and Israelis must work together to reach an agreement that allows both peoples to live, worship, and thrive and prosper in peace. And I will do whatever is necessary to facilitate the agreement, to mediate, to arbitrate, anything they'd like to do. But I would love to be a mediator or an arbitrator or a facilitator. And we will get this done. Peace also means defeating ISIS and other terrorist groups. These groups are a threat to all people who cherish human life. I know President Abbas has spoken out against ISIS and other terrorist groups, and we must continue to build our partnership with the Palestinian security forces to counter and defeat terrorism. I also applaud the Palestinian Authority's continued security coordination with Israel. They get along unbelievably well. I had meetings, and at these meetings I was actually very impressed and somewhat surprised at how well they get along. They work together beautifully. But there can be no lasting peace unless the Palestinian leaders speak in a unified voice against incitement to violate and violence and hate. There's such hatred, but hopefully there won't be such hatred for very long. All children of God must be taught to value and respect human life and condemn all of those who target the innocent. As part of our efforts to move forward toward peace today, we will also discuss my administration's effort to help unlock the potential of the Palestinian people through new economic opportunities. Lastly, I want to note the positive ongoing partnership between the United States and the Palestinians on a range of issues, private sector development and job creation, regional security, counterterrorism, and the rule of law, all of which are essential to moving forward toward peace. I welcome President Abbas here today as a demonstration of that partnership, that very special partnership that we all need to make it all work. And I look forward to welcoming him back as a great mark of progress and ultimately toward the signing of a document with the Israelis and with Israel toward peace. We want to create peace between Israel and the Palestinians. We will get it done. We will be working so hard to get it done. It's been a long time, but we will be working diligently. And I think there's a very, very good chance, and I think you feel the same way. Mr. President, thank you very much.
فخامة الرئيس دونالد ترامب، أشكركم على دعوتكم الكريمة وحفاوة الاستقبال، وأتطلع إلى العمل مع سيادتكم للتوصل إلى هدفنا المشترك بتحقيق صفقة السلام التاريخية.
Mr. President, Your Excellency, I would like to thank you for this honorable invitation to come and meet with you, and I look much forward to working with you in order to come to that deal, to that historical agreement, historic deal to bring about peace.
خيارنا سيادة الرئيس الاستراتيجي الوحيد هو أن نحقق مبدأ الدولتين، دولة فلسطين بعاصمتها القدس الشرقية لتعيش بأمن وسلام واستقرار إلى جانب دولة إسرائيل على حدود 1967.
Mr. President, our strategic option, our strategic choice is to bring about peace based on the vision of the two-state, a Palestinian state with its capital of East Jerusalem that lives in peace and stability with the state of Israel based on the borders of 1967.
إن تحقيق السلام الشامل والعادل على أساس حل الدولتين يعطي دفعة قوية لتحقيق مبادرة السلام العربية ويعزز التحالف الإقليمي والدولي لمحاربة وهزيمة التطرف والإرهاب وبخاصة داعش الإجرامية التي لا تمت إلى ديننا الحليف بأية صلة ويتيح الفرصة لأن تقوم الدول العربية والإسلامية بإقامة علاقات طبيعية مع إسرائيل وهذا بالضبط ما حددته القمم العربية والتي كان آخرها قمة الأردن قبل أسابيع.
Mr. President, for us to bring about a comprehensive and just peace based on the two-state solution, such matter would give a great impetus to the Arab Peace Initiative and the other initiatives, international initiatives, as well as it enables to fight and deter terrorism and fight the criminal ISIS group, ISIS that is totally innocent and has nothing to do with our noble religion. And that also, if we create peace that is just and comprehensive, that will also lead the Arab and the Islamic countries to have normal relations with Israel. Israel, based as stipulated in the previous Arab summits, the latest of which was the Arab summit in Jordan.
أنا مؤمن فخامة الرئيس بأنكم قادرون على النجاح لأن لديكم الإرادة والرغبة في هذا النجاح ولذلك نحن إن شاء الله قادمون على فرصة جديدة على مناسبة جديدة من أجل تحقيق هذا السلام برعايتكم.
Mr. President, we believe that we are capable and able to bring about success to our efforts because, Mr. President, you have the determination and you have the desire to see it become to fruition and to become successful. And we, Mr. President, inshallah, God willing, we are coming into a new opportunity, a new horizon that would enable us to bring about peace in that regard.
إن جميع قضايا الوضع النهائي قابلة للحل وأنا متأكد أنها قابلة للحل وبما يشمل اللاجئين والأسرى وذلك استنادا إلى القانون الدولي والشرعية الدولية والمرجعيات المحددة وقد نصت الاتفاقات السابقة على عدم اتخاذ أي خطوات أحادية من شأنها استباق نتائج مفاوضات الوضع الدائم.
Mr. President, as far as the a permanent solution, we believe that this is possible and able to be resolved. I am firmly believing that this is possibly we are able to resolve it, and in that I also believe that we will be able to resolve the issue of the refugees and the issue of the prisoners. According to the international law, according to the terms of the international law, the international legitimacy, and the various relevant references and terms of reference in that regard, and based on what is stipulated in the previous treaties and agreements, that no unilateral steps must be taken to get ahead of the agreement and discussing those issues.
لقد آن الأوان أن تنهي إسرائيل احتلالها لأرضنا وشعبنا بعد 50 سنة من الاحتلال. نحن الشعب الوحيد الذي بقي في هذا العالم تحت الاحتلال ولذلك نريد أن نحصل على حريتنا وعلى كرامتنا وعلى حقنا في تقرير المصير وأن تعترف إسرائيل بدولة فلسطين كما نحن نعترف بدولة إسرائيل.
Mr. President, it's about time for Israel to end its occupation of our people and of our land. After 50 years, we are the only remaining people in the world that still live under occupation. We are aspiring and want to achieve our freedom, our dignity, and our right to self-determination. And we also want for Israel to recognize the Palestinian state, just as the Palestinian people recognize the state of Israel.
أؤكد لكم يا فخامة الرئيس أننا نربي أطفالنا وأحفادنا وأولادنا على ثقافة السلام وأننا نسعى ليعيشوا بأمن وحرية وسلام مثل باقي أطفال العالم هم والأطفال الإسرائيليون.
Mr. President, I affirm to you that we are raising our youth, our children, our grandchildren on a culture of peace, and we are endeavoring to bring about security, freedom, and peace for our children to live like the other children in the world, along with the Israeli children, in peace, freedom, and security.
أنا أحمل معي معاناة وأمل الشعب الفلسطيني. لنجعل من الأرض المقدسة للديانات السماوية الثلاث اليهودية والمسيحية والإسلام ملاذا يوفر الأمن والأمانة والسلام والاستقرار والعدل للجميع.
Mr. President, I bring with me today the message of the suffering of my people as well as their aspirations and hope, the hopes and the aspiration of the Palestinian people from the Holy Land, from that land where the three monotheist religions thrived, and the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, and the Muslim faith, where they all coexist together to foster it in an environment of security, peace and stability and love for all.
إننا نؤمن يا فخامة الرئيس أنكم قادرون أننا قادرون بقيادتكم الشجاعة وحكمتكم وقدرتكم التفاوضية على إنهاء هذه المعاناة ونعتمد على الله ثم عليكم
وسنكون شركاء حقيقيين لكم لتحقيق معاهدة سلام تاريخية برعايتكم وقيادتكم.
Mr. President, I believe that we are capable under your leadership and your stewardship, to your courageous stewardship and your wisdom, we are, and as well as your great negotiating ability, I believe with the grace of God and with all of your effort, we believe that we can we can be partners, true partners to you, to bring about a historic peace treaty under your stewardship to bring about peace.
Now, Mr. President, with you, we have hope.
Well, okay. We've listened to some very, very important speeches. And you know how we have to listen hard. We listen hard on this program. Based on what you heard from Saudi Arabia, the speeches made in Saudi Arabia, based on what we heard today, what do you make of this effort by President Trump to be the broker of peace in the Middle East? Your thoughts at 888-874-4888. I just want to, I could start it off by giving you a hint. It was fascinating in this last tape that we heard that President Trump never once referred to President Abbas as President Abbas. And he never talked about the Palestinian people or the state of Palestine. He just kept talking about the Palestinians, you know, Israel and the Palestinians. It sounded like a rock band. The ways in which you get the expressions of contempt. But it is also very clear that he got, in a very polite way, President Abbas put Donald Trump in his place. He gave him a schooling. It was very nicely done, very politely done, but he very clearly stated his requirements for discussing peace. And he clearly indicated, if you read between the lines, he doesn't think it's even possible, but he's trying to be polite. He's trying to be polite and trying not to say that he recognizes in this matter, Donald Trump is way, way over his head. But it's about your thoughts at 888-874-4888. This is not a trivial matter, and there's a lot of media attention given to this, but we are seeing indications that would allow us to have valid doubts about the sincerity of the effort. It's another show, because so many things were said. I mean, in a wonderful environment, great greetings and all of this kind of stuff. But when you look at it, President Trump is not talking really about peace. He is, if you listen hard, he is giving an assignment. He's giving an assignment to all of the Muslims, all of the Muslim nations and leaders he's talked to. They are responsible. They have to take the lead in fighting ISIS. That's their job. That's what he's saying. When you snatch away all the frills, you see, essentially, he is there to make the case that the Arab world is just not doing enough to fight ISIS. As if they created ISIS. Here is a leader of a nation that created ISIS. And in the midst of all the festivities and all the ceremonies and everything else, Donald Trump starts from the point of view that, separate that out of anything, that is not important, and besides which, it's wrong to even claim that. But he is now lecturing the Arab world about what they have to do, the sacrifices, the further sacrifices they ought to make, especially in the case of President Abbas, to facilitate peace. It is not so much Israel's responsibility, and nobody has any reason to hold Israel responsible for the fractioning of a nation and the creation of the world's largest prison by encasing this nation with barbed wire, and they can't even fish in the ocean for their own food. The water supplies are tightly controlled to this horrible creation. Listen to the language. We have Jose from Rosedale on the air. You're on the air.
Greetings, my professor.
Hello.
And ancestral blessings be upon you always.
Thank you so much, and same to you.
Thank you. Well, as an elder, I've always wanted to voice my concern, my opinion on this Palestinian matter. Well, I don't know about anyone else, but it has dawned upon me a long, 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 long time ago that there is no way we are going to see a Palestinian state with contiguous borders where these folks will have the right to control their land. I've given the right to have a security forces, a military for self-defense, have their own airspace, their own economies, their own everything, their own academic system, you name it. We will not see it. It has dawned on me a long time ago that the United States has been playing games with the Israelis and against the Palestinians. They are not a honest broker. They never was a honest broker. And it seems as if Israel is the one that directs the affairs of the Zionist state. And no president or Congress or Senate will ever change that. Now, I went some years ago when Ahmed Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran at that time?
Iran.
Yes. You remember when he came to the United Nations? And it was a big uproar. And he was invited to speak at the, I think it was Colombia or whatever. It was a big thing. But around that area, the era, there was a conference at Colombia. Most of the Zionist leaders and so forth were there at that conference. And I went the day, I remembered. And I was sitting in the audience, and I asked the Zionist leaders, I would like for you to tell me if in anyone's lifetime, anybody in this era, anybody's lifetime, you think we will ever see such a Palestinian state where these folks have the right to be in charge of their own destiny. They have the right of return. They have the right to the same things that I just mentioned a moment ago. And one looked at the other and he laughed. And to him it was funny. And they all had a little joke about it. And there was an Arab brother sitting in the front row with me. And he said to them, what's the matter? Why aren't you answering the man's question? He has asked you a credible question. Why aren't you answering it? And one of them said, I don't know about anybody else, but I know I'm an old man, but I don't know if that will happen in my lifetime. No, my professor, the palace, the folks of Israel, they have already put together this final solution, just as Hitler created the final solution for their people. in Germany. They have already formulated the final solution for the Palestinian people. And we can talk all we want to and say all of what we want to. They have the power to make sure that they control all the land of Palestine, and they have plans for a greater Israel. A lot
so
of
let me ask you,
it.
Therefore, this attempt by Donald Trump to broker a peace, is it a real attempt, or is it just another stunt?
It is an exercise in futility. None of these presidents have ever meant it. Maybe Jimmy Carter had some, but most of the administrations of this country, they are in the pocket of the Israeli lobbyists. They are big money that is being spent. And all these politicians from the Congress to the Senate to the White House, they are all in the pockets of the Zionist movement. They will never be free of them because they don't have the courage to stand up and do the right thing. They don't have that courage. So we will continue to have administration after administration playing games, mean, cruel, and evil games on the Palestinian people. And it will never, a state will never come about, not in anybody's lifetime, because that is not the plan. As I said,
right.
Then, the plan is of a greater Israel, and they are not going to stop at the Palestinian land. They have greater plans. That is why they want to destroy the Iran. They want to be the only power down there with nuclear power and all the military might. And the Saudis. The Saudis are traitors to the Arab world, and their day is going to come. They think that when Israel get through and straighten out the Palestinian problem and Iran and so forth, that their day is not going to come. But I have news for them. So there's a greater plan there, my professor. I don't care what anybody wants to say. This is an exercise in futility. They have us trying to make us believe that they really want to give the Palestinians a homeland. They have no plans of doing that.
Thank you so much, Jose. A lot said. Let's see how people react to it. Thank you for calling in and contributing today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes. Nice talking with you, Yatrice.
Thank you.
It was very sad to listen to the President Trump and the President of Israel talk, because as I see it, it was total nonsense to talk about peace and leave out the word justice. Neither of them said anything about justice for the Palestinians. All they want is to control these people, and the idea of giving justice is completely left out of it. Now, Trump has done the same thing that these other U.S. presidents have done, and talked about, well, the Palestinians and the Zionists that run Israel will have to agree on something, and the United States will not do anything. Now, with the United States sending billions and billions of dollars every year to Israel, not only in tax money, but other funds that may reach up into close to $20 billion a year from various sources going to Israel. And United States having a practice of putting people who need to be corrected in their behavior under sanctions, and all the things that Israel has done that violate human rights and the laws of the world in terms of how people are treated, and no sanctions have ever been taken against them, with the United States running interference at the United Nations. What I think of when I'm hearing stuff like this is that people don't know anything about history. They don't know how the Zionists prevailed upon President Truman and with other imperial powers were able to do what was necessary to have a UN resolution passed that gave cover to the terrorism of the Zionists who took over Palestine. And as far as I know, the Palestinians now were under colonial control, first by the Turks, and then the British in the early part of the 20th century. And I don't know of any time that a referendum was held for them to decide what they wanted to do. There was no self-determination. I don't know. Maybe someone else could tell me what right is the United Nations to just turn over a whole land to organization, the Zionists from Europe, the Ashkenazis, and just give it over. And then after they do that, those people get in there and do what they did. They founded the country on terrorism, rape, robbery, murder, torture, and drove out over 700,000 Palestinians and took over their land, and that was it. And nothing was done to correct that. So all this idea about having peace is nonsense, because you cannot have peace with a lack of justice. And that's what they want. They want to dictate to the Palestinians what's going to happen to them. They want to maintain their largest prison camp in the world. And this is just rhetoric. That's all it is. Nobody is interested in justice for the Palestinians on the Israel side or the American side. And that's the tragedy here. And it's so sad that most people don't understand this, what is going on. People don't read. You're not going to get a good story in the media here. They don't do that. They have to toe the line, because you cannot make any criticism of Israel in this country safely, because you'll be labeled a anti-Semite, which, you know, the word Semite refers to many different languages and groups, but they've arrogated that to themselves, the Zionists have. And so you're not supposed to criticize in any way anything about Israel. So it is a very sad case. People don't read. They don't look at books like The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Pape and things like that. If you really want to find out what happened, how they got to do that, you need to read that book. Professor Pape was a professor in Israel. He's in England now. But I recommend everybody read that book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. So it is a very sad case. As far as I'm concerned, I chalk up Donald Trump and the president of Israel as just a rhetorical exercise to do nothing, to continue the injustice to the Palestinians, to deny them the right to return to their land where they were driven out, and continuing the same thing of having an apartheid state. And it's
but
not,
you know, I think, though, that there is something happening. And what is happening is, well, of course, Trump has flipped the script, as they say. It is not so much about peace. You know, they talk about peace and so forth. That's not going to happen. But what is going to happen is Trump would probably serve as the director of a formation, a military formation, ostensibly to tackle ISIS and other so-called terrorist groups. you see that the United States has allocated $54 billion to augment its military. You're seeing the commitment of $450 billion, $100 billion of which will immediately go into beefing up Saudi Arabia's military. Israel is making the case, well, it gets free money in excess of $90 billion a year. A lot of it has gone into, has been directed toward beefing up its military. So under this idea, under this guise of talking about peace, what we're seeing is a formation, a military formation. This is what Trump is after, a military formation to go after Iran.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Iran is no threat to Israel. And, you know, Trump's talk about having them not being able to get a nuclear weapon, nothing was said about Israel's nuclear weapons. You see,
of course
that
not.
Was, you know, this of is course. Ridiculous. Everyone knows, and it's been let out of the bag quite some time ago, that they are amazing, have amazing supply of nuclear weapons, and nothing is said about this at all. This is a tremendous injustice, and I'm so sorry for the Palestinian people and the suffering they're going through and having to live in an apartheid state. And remember that Bishop Tutu says it's an apartheid state. Nelson Mandela said it was an apartheid state. And Jimmy Carter said it was an apartheid state. And Premise de Vervoort of South Africa says that they're maintaining an apartheid state.
And we should also
Israel
recognize
now.
That within Israel, there's a vigorous movement against that very thing, the apartheid state that's being run by the government. Thanks so much for calling in. That brings us to the end of the program today. Stay tuned. Coming up next is, what's coming up next? The infectious myth. I think I remember that. The infectious myth is coming up next. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. It's always a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. And I wanted to share this with you so you can hear what the thinking is under the obvious level. There are several layers under there, and I was hoping that we could get to some of them today, and we certainly did. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.